It is always a privilege to be able to preach the Word of God. And I'd like for us tonight, if you would please, to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I'd like to ask us a few questions before I begin. The first one is who do you feel like you are affecting? Who do you feel like you are affecting? Just take a second and think about that. Who are you affecting? The second thing I'd like for you to think of is how. How are you affecting them? And the third thing I'd like for us to think about is this, is who and how do I want to be an effect on others? What kind of effect do you want to be? And as we think about that, we're going to read a passage here, and then we're going to mention a few things, and we'll get into the message. In chapter 14 of the book of Romans, we're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether he live, we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live therefore, or die, we are the Lord's." We're going to stop right there for right now. I was going to read the whole thing, but we'll stop right there. I would like for us to think tonight about, for none of us liveth to himself. There are several things that I want us to consider and to think about in just a moment as we get into the message. Let's begin with a word of prayer, though. Father, I pray that you would bless tonight as we look at your word. May we be able to take the truths that we find here and be able to apply them to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, may it make a difference in us. May we allow your truths to affect us. In your name, amen. There was research done in 2004 for the Journal of Personality and Psychology, and it suggests that watching or reading someone striving to attain a goal can make you more likely to adapt that goal as well. An interesting study with young children, only 18 months old. Isn't that amazing? 18 months old. How old is David? Oh, I'm sorry. How old is David? 2. So he's about that age. There's somebody about that age. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But anyway, it's an interesting study. Research with children this age suggests that they do want to be helpful. For example, these researchers described a study in 2006 paper in Science, in which 18-month-olds were allowed to help adults reach for things that they have dropped. And I'm finding, boy, that would be more helpful all the time. But anyway, these young children were shown pictures. They were shown they're a group of young children. They divided them into 4 different groups. Some of the young children, they gave them a picture of a group of people standing looking at each other. Then others were to look at a picture where there were just 2 people, but they would not look at each other. Another where there was just 1 person in the picture, and then another where it had figures in the picture and no people. After this, they brought in another experimenter. This experimenter did not see the pictures, did not know which children had seen the pictures, or knew anything about it. He just came in and he was told to bring in some pickup sticks, and he was to walk over and say, "Hey, let's play a game." And as he's walking over, he accidentally drops the pickup sticks. And then he looks at them and waits, and after about 10 seconds, 60% of those who had been watching those who had been cooperating, looking together in the picture, picked up the sticks. Of those that did not, only 20% did. What you do is going to affect other people. They may not say anything, and there may not be something obvious that happens right before you, but you are making a difference in people today. And as you think about that, I want you to see that in this passage, we find out in the book of Romans chapter 14, just before this, Paul had talked about, hey, this is how you need to treat people civilly. And now he's getting over to another area. He says, now let's talk about things spiritually and talk about things in the church. There's some things that are not really that great of importance that you don't want it to cause you to have some problems. For example, like what the temperature actually has to be in the auditorium, or what color the carpet is, or maybe some things like that. But do you realize that there are churches that are split over those things and things that are even less than that? That families are destroyed over things that really don't amount to a hill of beans. As we look at these things, we need to see that there are some truths that we need to find from these passages. The first thing I'd like for us to notice is that when he talks about it, he gives a rule in the first verse. It says, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. What are we supposed to do? The person who is a person of strong spiritual strength, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to receive them in faith. Don't despise them. Don't look at them in a bad way. Realize that God has saved them. When you look at your life, do you realize that perhaps, as Pastor mentioned, I've been here 26 years. But do you know, there are probably some days when there are some folks who've just been saved a few days are a little bit more spiritual than I am in God's eyes. Why is that? Because they are progressing. If I don't progress, if I'm not moving closer to God, then they're doing more for God than I am. Because if I'm not moving forward, and if I'm not doing what God wants me to do this moment, then I'm not doing what needs to be done. I'm not being the example that I have to be. I'm not being a help to somebody else. I'm not bringing the weak along. For perhaps some days, we are the weak. And we look around and we see people and we just don't understand it. I remember when I was a young lad, my sister, she was a rather domineering spirit. Her name is Sharon. She was the oldest. And Sharon, she was, we had just started going to church and we knew absolutely nothing about God and nothing about church. My sisters had gotten saved, and I was going to church. I'd made a profession of faith, but they decided to have the Christmas play. And my sister wanted me to be the little drummer boy in the Christmas program. It didn't matter to her. The little drummer boy had nothing to do with what the Bible says. She just felt like that needed to be done. You know what? Hey, sometimes there's some weak folks, and they don't know what the Bible says. What do we need to do? We need to help them and bring them along, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as we do our children, to care for them and to bring them aside as Aquila and Priscilla and to be able to help them. And then you'll see not only that, but also in verse 3, there's a second rule that was given there. It says, let not him that eateth despiseth him that eateth not. We're not supposed to take these things and use them as an opportunity to look down on somebody else. But by the grace of God, there go I. You need to realize that there is no sin that anyone has ever committed that you and I are not able to commit. There's nobody that's fallen that we could not follow after their same footsteps. What we must do is to realize it's only by God's grace that we are where we are today. And that it is God that gives us the strength. And that God is the one that holds us up. As he goes on and he talks about a little bit later, and he tells him, he says, listen, you need to realize that God wants us to stand. Hey, do you realize it is not you that decides who gets saved? It is not you who decides who is saved. But what it is that we are to try to help them to be able to know the Savior, to be able to bring them along and to help them. As we deal with the young people downstairs, Brother Rob helps out downstairs. It's great. Sometimes we have such a delightful time down there with some of those young people. And some of them are growing. And it's so good to see them growing spiritually and growing up. What we try to do is we try to work with them and to help them and eventually actually move them up to Brother Reese's class and to be able to get up there and then to be able to progress on in through our Sunday school and in through our junior church and in through into the services. You know what? Into the auditorium as they grow older. We want to see some great things happen, but we don't know who is going to. This morning we had a young man down there. Oh boy, was he a pistol. He really didn't have any excitement about being there. He didn't really want to be there. You know what? It made it a bad day for him, a very unhelpful day for him. But you know what we needed to do? We needed to try to do our best to help him the best we can, to be able to help him, to be able to see exactly what he needs. In verse 5, you'll notice there it says, one man esteemeth a day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his mind. We need to make sure that we know what the Word of God is. Be fully persuaded. It would not be good for us to do something in doubt. Because if we do it in doubt, it's not what God wants. God wants us to know Him and to know exactly what it is that we ought to do. If we were to skip down in verse 13, we'll come back to this in just a second. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge rather this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. One of the best things that we need to do is to realize a rule is to help people along and not be a stumbling block. Just because you don't like their personality or you don't like something about them, don't allow them to be that allow yourself to become a stumbling block to them. If you do, it will just cause a great heartache and dissatisfaction in your life. And then in verse 19 it says, let us therefore follow after these things which maketh for peace, and things therewith one may edify another. What are we doing to help folks to come along, to edify, to help them to be what they ought to be? When you look around, you'll see all kinds of folks in this auditorium. And I can tell you what, if you could have seen them 5 years before they got saved, some of you would be totally shocked. What we need to do is to realize that our job is to help folks to come along. How in the world does this happen? I would like for us to notice three things here. The first thing I'd like for us to notice, number one, is from verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself. If you'll notice here, he says, none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We have a choice to make. Are we going to be sacrificial with our lives, or we're going to be selfish with our lives? What are you going to do with your life? Is your life something that you're going to look at and say, well, it's mine, I'll do with it as I please? Do you realize that selfishness is one of the most common faces of pride? How everything affects me. How does it feel to me? What do I like about it? How important is it to me? Not looking at what God has to say. We become so self-centered in our matters that we're eat up with self-conceit and self-pity and worldly self-fulfillment and self-gratification and self-seeking. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter what God says. We are just consumed with self. When we do that, all of a sudden we have so many problems that begin to affect us. We need to realize that everyone affects, or whenever one affects a person directly, they are indirectly affecting a whole lot more other people. Do you realize as a parent, when I affect my child, when I do something with my child, I'm affecting other people? When you are doing something with your family, you're making a difference outside your family. And do you realize that one of the things I love about Brother Reese, he's worked with my children. All of my children have gone through his classes. And I thank God for him. You know why? Because every child that's gone through his class has been positively affected by Brother Reese. To be more godly, to learn Scripture, to be able to do the things that they need to do. How can we do this? How are you doing with that? How about with your children? What type of attitude comes across? I was a little bit taken back. I was reading this week some articles, and one of them, frankly, I didn't agree with the premise of it. They were talking about the scriptures, and they were saying something about how they didn't believe all scripture was inspired. But as they were reading the, in the article, there was something I noticed. They said, when it talked about in correction, how that God corrects always aright, but sometimes the Father, well, not sometimes, but says the Father corrects for his own good pleasure. Do you realize that that means that you and I must be very careful in how we correct, in what we do, in the attitude that we have, in the spirit in which we correct our children, in the spirit in which we work with others at work, the spirit in which we have as we deal with other people. As I work with people on the bus route, or if as I work with people in the school, and as I work with my own family, oh, how convicting it is to realize that sometimes we get a little lackadaisical, and we don't care, or we don't feel good, so we just don't act right. Do you realize that that doesn't change the fact that we've affected them? If we don't do right, who can we blame? Well, it's because I didn't feel good that day. No, it doesn't matter how you felt. You have made a difference in somebody. Are you willing to sacrifice yourself for others? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 7, says, woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses cometh. Do you realize that the Bible says that if you do this, they'll just understand. You know, I just blew up at them. Well, that young Christian may not understand that, because what they do is they look to see, hey, they're at church. They must be a good Christian. And if somebody else just doesn't treat them right, they don't understand it. All the offenses that do come. Are you willing to sacrifice, or are you selfish? I'm not asking you, are you always sacrificial? I'm asking you, where do you work on it? Do you sacrifice of yourself? You'll want to sacrifice for your kids when they're picking out your nursing home. You'll want to be sacrificial, and you want them to really step out for you. But do you realize that now is your opportunity? And the folks that you're working with now are going to be the ones that are going to be leading tomorrow. What are we doing with them today? Not only that, but the second thing I'd like for us to notice, not only are we sacrificial or selfish, but if you would look down at verse 13 with me, please. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge rather that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. May I ask you something? Are you a stumbling block or a stepping stone? We have opportunity. You say, but it really didn't mean very much. I just was teasing. I was just clowning around. It's a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block. Do you realize that when someone falls flat on their face? You know, I was reminded of this when I was in college. I remember Dr. Hiles preached two Sunday night messages. The first one was, Achan has sinned. You know what Achan did wrong? Oh, he took those things that weren't his. He shouldn't have done it, and all Israel had to pay for it. And then the next Sunday night, he preached on Israel has sinned. If you'll read the passage, you'll find out that the Bible mentions those two things. Why is that? Because we need to realize that we are responsible for what we do. And as a church, and as a teacher, and as a worker, and as a person that greets somebody, every person that walks in the door, they ought to feel like this is a great place. Amen. Isn't it a great place? Amen. Well, then why don't we let folks know about it? As they walk in, they ought to know that, man, there's folks that care. You know, folks don't really care what you know until they know that you care. And we have that opportunity. It's so important for us to see that we can either be a stepping stone or a stumbling block. He says that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. How oft is it that we see someone who falls? And we want to diagram why they did that and how they made so many mistakes. Should we not sometimes sit back and ask ourselves, what did I do? to help them? What did I do to be a stepping stone to keep them from making that mistake? What have I done to be able to remove some stumbling blocks from before them? Sometimes, you know, my daughter, it was exciting. She just got her bus driver's license. I rode with her. Man, that'll work on your prayer life. Oh, wow. It was exciting. Yeah. And I'm going along, and I'm riding along, and I want to say, don't turn too sharp. Wait. Hey, remember, the wheels are behind you in the pusher buses. Don't do that. You're going to run over the curb. Oh, my. You know, you look at those things. You want to say things to try to help them, to prevent them from being, to be a stumbling block. But to be a stepping stone, you have to be able to help them with the right spirit and the right heart attitude. You got to be willing to be able to help them. Oh, you want to see some wonderful things happen with your families and with your children. But you realize that every time you speak to them, that is the opportunity that you have to be a stumbling block or a stepping stone. What are you going to do? How are you going to attack this thing? Young Christians and folks that are there, you need to realize that we have an opportunity as we speak to them. What type of attitude do we have and do we display? How quick are we to get angry or prideful? Well, let me tell you how it's done. How often is it that we are humble and obedient and helpful to them? And what about our actions? What do our actions say? When all of a sudden we don't do the things the way that we ought to, and we get rather discouraging, and we say things to them that are really not very helpful at all. Yesterday I was over in Maryland. My wife's brother turned 40 years old, and he was excited and thrilled to death, not because it was his birthday, but because he was coaching his third grade daughter's basketball team, and he was thrilled. I thought, man, you're ready to be Bobby Knight now, aren't you, huh? And as he was doing it, and he was saying, can you tell me anything that could help me with them? I said, the first thing is realize that what your coaches used to say to you, don't you say to them, because those little girls will just sit there and cry. Do you realize there are some folks that you can be able to help by being helpful, to be kind? As you think about it, your actions. Are you encouraging them? Are you trying to help them along? Sometimes some people are encouraging and they say, wow, that's great, that's great, that's great, that's great. You know, and sometimes you begin to think, I don't think they really believe that. You know, speaking about Sarah again and the driving, you know, Chap was the one who took her out and gave her the instruction. And she says, boy, he says, I'm doing good and this is great. And then he says, you did real good at this. Now let's do this. And I thought, man, that's great. He is taking and bringing them along in the way that they ought to go. Do you know what? We have some things that we have to be careful of. Are we sacrificing or are we selfish? Are we stumbling blocks or are we stepping stones? How are we helping people along? When we think about this, we see that the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, he says in verse 6, it says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. I'd like for you to notice there, we talked often about how it's the little one, but do you notice also it says, that believes, which believes in me? When you meet someone who's a brand new Christian, someone that you've just led to the Lord, someone that's just started, do you realize that the Bible says that if you offend them, that it'd be better that a millstone be hung around your neck and you be cast into the sea? Oh, how sad it is for people that we flippantly brush off because they're a little different, because they don't seem to fit the mold of what we see. How can we help them? How can we bring them along? Then I would like for us to notice not only about the sacrifice and self or selfish, not only the stumbling block, or are we a stepping stone? But I'd also like for us to notice in verse 18, for he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. May I ask you, are you serving Christ or are you severing Christ from others by what you do? When you talk, when you laugh at the dirty joke at work, you've just severed Christ from them because they expect you to be what Christ ought to be. When you are at work and you don't do things just exactly the way things ought to be done, you realize that you're not serving Christ. You've just severed Christ from that person. You have destroyed an opportunity for that person to see what Jesus Christ is like. We talk to the young people downstairs and we tell them, say, listen, do you know what? The best thing that you could do to see your parents to be able to come to church is be different. If you go home just like you are and you don't change and you don't act different, they won't ever. I remember knocking on the door of one of our bus kids' houses, and the bus kid had said, hey, I want to get baptized. I want to get baptized. And I knocked on the door, and the parent came to the door, and I said, hey, they're in our class, and they said they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they want to get baptized. And they said, you don't know what they're like at home. You don't know how they act. You don't know how they talk. He says, no, they can't get baptized. When I see a change, then they can. Oh, how it must grieve the heart of God. But I wonder how many of us fit in that same boat. How many of us that if we were to go to the workers where you work, they would know that you are a Christian and what they would think of that Christianity. How about if we could go to the confines of your home and ask your children what type of Christian you are when no one else is there? What would they say? Would it break our heart to know it? Not dare do it. But what would they say? May I say that when we do wrong, it echoes away from us. And it affects others. It affects farther than we could e'er imagine. We better be careful what we do. In verse 19 it says, let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Are you willing to be someone who's willing to sacrifice of yourself that others may be edified, brought up, and closer to the Lord? Are you one that's willing to be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block? That you would remove those stumbling blocks from before them that they might be able to grow? And would you be one that would be willing to take of what you have and to make it so that you could be one that serves Christ to them in such a way that they could say, I want that. That is something that I need. Let's not be a sever. Let us not be a stumbling block. Let us not be so selfish. Why? Because there's someone that's coming after us and that we need to be a help to them. The poem goes a little bit like this. It says, the bridge builder says, an old man going a lone highway came at even, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in twilight dim, and sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, said the fellow pilgrim near, you're wasting your strength with building here. Your journey will not end with ending day. You'll never again will pass this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, in the path I've come, he said, there followeth after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in twilight dim. Good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. What are you doing with your life? What are you doing? May I ask you again, who are you affecting? How are you affecting them? And may I ask, who and how, what way do you want to be an effect on them? How you want to be the effect, you must change and pattern your life in such a way that you might be able to do what God would have you to do. Yes, be sacrificial. Yes, be a stepping stone. Yes, you must be that one that is willing to just go out of your way and do the thing that needs to be done to be a help to them, and be one that will serve the Christ of heaven. Let's bow.